Hello, people first, and welcome to the Quiffcast.
Amazing.
With me, Rob Baines, Shart Smart.
Oh, wow, you're so many names. Amazing.
And I know because you're not the last one in the list.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, that sucks. Okay.
And our guest for today, Mr.
Oh, yes.
Charlie. Lich.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Round of applause, round of applause.
Charlie Lynch.
Is Charlie still there?
Today on the Quiffcast.
Round of applause.
I think the people listening are clapping.
Okay.
If they're on the bus, they look very, very weird.
Oh, that's so,
right. Ash will dub in someone.
Okay.
Ash will sort it. Or he might not. He might just let the awkward moment rise.
Like a tumbleweed sound.
It could be.
A tumbleweed so. Sound.
or a cricket. Or a cricket.
Ash dubbing this sound.
That's an amazing sound.
Just on repeat.
Just on repeat for the next 50 minutes, if that's all right.
That's, I mean,
yeah, good.
We're not going to be podcasting that long, mate, but...
What, you don't think it's going to be a 50-minute long conversation? I do. I think it is. I think it's going to be a 50-minute... Yeah.
Well, we're already... I haven't even gone into the topic yet.
No, so,
this is going to be a 50-minute long conversation.
Oh, this is going to be about 2 hours. This is going to be
so
great. Yeah, go on. Introduce
welcome.
I've already
done that.
What are we talking about?
So, to be talking about...
Yeah, go on.
A real good topic that is close to all of our hearts.
Oh, yes.
And that is the superhero film genre.
Oh, yeah. Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Is that what we're talking about? We're talking about Howard the Duck.
I mean, you can if you want.
I don't want to.
Why did you bring
it up? Charlie.
Why did you bring it up?
You did.
Oh, did I?
That's what you did.
Charlie.
And
yes, Charlie.
Come on.
What? I wasn't even listening, sorry. My dog made a weird noise.
is your dog a superhero? That's what I want to know.
My dog is a superhero.
What's his superpower?
Squidge power.
Squidge power.
That's a very useful power.
Yeah, he makes squidgy noises. Eleanor just walked in and looked at me. Like, squidge noises?
You know, squidge boys.
Squidge boys.
Whoa, squidge boys, roll out. You know what I mean? I'd be in that gang. I'd be in the Squidge Boy
Squidge
gang.
Boys, Squidge
yeah,
Boy
Squidge
gang.
Boys. Yeah, Squidge Boys.
Sounds like a 90s
and your dog.
Band.
Me, your dog, SpongeBob.
Squidge Boy.
And Wolverine.
Wolverine retired, like, at 72.
Do you remember when you cosplayed as Wolverine, Charlie?
Oh, and what's the topic again?
Superheroes.
There you go.
We're back on track.
Segueing
nice,
back
nice
into...
Nice segue, babe.
Thank you. Did you enjoy that segue?
I thought I was taking...
Who was taking...
Who's taking
was it? Was that my segue or your segue?
I think it was a group effort. Both played a part in that.
Oh, thank you. We're both sharing the segue off the cliff, so you know it's good.
It's. I mean, the brakes have, you know, lost their ability.
I'd love to have a go at a segue.
I would.
I would too. To feel properly American.
You'd feel like Magneto, just like sort of floating along.
I love Magneto. Such a cheesy character.
What have you got against?
What have you got against superhero films, Charlie?
Bringing it back to topic.
It was worth a try. Why don't you talk about why you like superhero films? I think that's quite more interesting, and I'll give you counterpoints.
Counterpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay then. Okay. Is that how you want to play it? I can try.
It won't work because not to spoil things. Everyone, don't stop listening now. But I don't hate superhero films.
Whee!
It's the top and tail. I don't hate them.
End of podcast.
Mm. End of podcast.
There we go.
End up.
However, I'm just very indifferent, which might mean is a worse reaction than hating them. I don't know.
You're just like, it's a superhero film.
Yeah, it's capitalist greed in it, really. So, you know.
Wow.
Well, we're going there. Carry on.
He's gone there.
I've gone there.
Charlotte, why don't you start? Why don't you pick up a good superhero-ness?
Yeah, Charlotte.
I am here. I'm trying to think.
It's a big topic, I know.
Let's start with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, yeah, I like the comedy aspect. I think some mm-hmm. of them, I think they've done that really well, and I'm always up for like a good feel good movie.
Can I just stop a quick sec? Everything lagged out then.
Oh, I thought you were going to come back with a countdown.
No. I literally thought Charlie was like,
I didn't even hear what Charlotte said.
Charlotte was talking about the comedy aspects of Marvel.
I think they do that quite well. Whereas when DC tried to do a comedy aspect, like, it's just terrible. It really is bad.
In what way do Marvel do comedy good?
It's well timed.
Okay.
They can tell a good story at the same time, add a little bit of comedy in there,
yes.
And it doesn't seem too much. Okay. It just seems like the right amount. But it does, yeah.
Adds to the character.
Yeah, whereas we saw Aquaman last night, and that was hilarious, absolutely hilarious, but for the wrong reasons for me, because it was just that bad.
I do love me a bad film, though.
But it was good in the way that it was that bad.
Are we talking Robert would the disagree room with levels?
Me. I liked Aquaman.
Oh.
But I agree with the cringe aspect of a lot of it. A lot of it was what I dubbed as shot for the trailer shots. Where it was a lot of
far too many
turns.
Looking back at the camera and pulling
and
like
I'm going
face.
To beat
Ooh, a
your bottom.
Little grin.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat your bottom faces.
Beat your bottom.
Charlotte, give us one of your favourite films in the Marvel franchise that you'd say nails the comedy for you.
Top three.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. Why so?
Top
three. Go for three. Yeah.
I'll give you my reason for that is the fact that I didn't expect it. And I legitimately thought the film was going to be rubbish. And when I saw the film, I loved the music, I loved the timing, I loved how the actors gelled together, I loved the story. And that's my favourite film out of the cinematic universe.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of another two. Let's just stay with that. That's my favourite.
What do you think of that before I counter?
What, specifically the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Comedy in general in Marvel films.
I think it was nice about they find comedy in different ways all the different films. They fit comedy in all the films in different ways, whether that's like sort of slapstick or through the writing or like
very
dry humor
as well.
Doctor Strange has a lot of dry humor in it. I mean, it's not Marvel Cinematic Universe, but Deadpool's a lot
hilarious.
Of good humor. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's pretty much Deadpool's probably the most comedic.
It's quotable
and set
stuff.
Out to
that's
be
what I like.
Set
I like
out
a
to
good
be
quotable
the most comedic.
Film where I can
I think it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Excuse me.
That's what.
Thank you. My dog just climbed up on the table. Sorry.
I think while well, like it Marvel doesn't take itself too seriously.
No, whereas DC does.
Yeah. Charlie.
Oh, yeah, hi. I'm going to provide some context for this opinion. I am going to. Okay. First off, haven't seen Deadpool. I know.
What?
I know. Secondly,
just not bothered.
Yeah, it's a more
it's
general point. A more general point that I'll bring on later on.
Okay,
he's not old enough.
I'm not old enough now. I'm about 12. So
you can watch. Well, you can watch the Christmas one. You can watch the Christmas one.
What age is that one? Do you think?
Well, they've made it so it's there's no. It's not. Oh, it's suitable for all audiences.
I am quite an innocent boy, so that'll be nice.
I know you are.
Yeah. Well, that's rude. That's rude. First off, secondly, rude. so I'm putting Deadpool out the picture. I'm also going to put Thor Ragnarok out the picture. One, because I haven't seen it, and two, the director and writer of the film, Taika excuse me, hey. I don't know what happened there. I tried to say Taika Waititi, and my mouth just went, no, you're going to do a weird noise now. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to enjoy it. So, you know, Taika Waititi. I am familiar with his work, because he used to do a lot of stuff with Flight of the Conchords, and he did a very good film called What We Do in the Shadows, which you might have
seen. Is that the one about vampires?
The vampire one. Oh, God, yeah. It's so funny.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, his comedy is obviously very, very different to most Marvel films, and I presume Thor Ragnarok is the same.
Thor Ragnarok was very, very different compared to the other Thor films, which in turn were tried to be too dark.
Yeah.
But at the same
time... As a trilogy, it stands out a lot from the other two ones.
It is the best one out of all three, in my opinion.
So, here comes my little baby boy counter. I personally think Guardians of the Galaxy is a very good film.
Thank you.
For a summer blockbuster, I think, and a superhero film, I think, as its own thing, it stands out very well. I do think. Okay, so before Guardians of the Galaxy, there wasn't much comedy in Marvel films. Would you agree?
I agree with that. I would argue
that Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. had his little quips and moments, but mainly it was about the action and the story. And then
I think probably the comedy started to slip in more when Disney got the rights to.
Okay.
Disney bought them out. I think it's from Avengers that Disney. On them, I think.
Yeah,
I think
that's what. So Avengers started not the sarcastic, but the dry wit and the quips between the characters, which obviously is fun and cool. Then that's carried on throughout all of the Marvel films, and then obviously it came to a head with Guardians of the Galaxy, which has defined that sort of quippage. To quote again, quippage.
Quippage.
And. That sort of dry wit and that banter between characters. I personally think, and this will be a running theme throughout the whole of this, that it's sort of a bit boring now to hear the same quips and the same banter between different characters. I think it's all quite samey. There's so many... I don't know if this is something to do with character as well, and there's something might come on to, but there's so many different characters in the Marvel films... But it all seems a bit samey. All the characters sort of have, as you say, Charlotte, the same story arcs, and all characters sort of have the same sort of dry humour with each other. Obviously, certain characters talk to each other the most. But I feel like that all came to a head in Guardians of the Galaxy, whereas I think it's a very good film. I think that sort of laid the precedent of, every Marvel film must now have dry humour and banter between characters, because this is the only way we can sort of keep the brevity up in a film series a film franchise that has very much become all about setting up for another film. And, you know, just... I'm bringing the big guns out now. But, yeah, that's my opinion. I think it's all very... Comedy-wise,
quite one note,
in my opinion. With a few exceptions, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's very fair.
There's going to be a theme, as you can tell.
what I was going to say is, what I think is quite unique about the MCU... I mean, we're probably going to be talking about the MCU majority later here.
Yeah, because it's DC's poo.
Wow. Mic drop.
That's not a swear word.
we're not allowed to swear. It's a good job I haven't swore. I normally swear all the time. Oh my.
Charlotte, can you say the word poo?
Poo.
There we go.
Now just dub that in.
Into where he. Where she. I could say fecal matter.
Fecal matter.
Yeah. So whatever, sage. Ash. There you go, the choice.
Have a word bank.
Word Bad. Bank.
A word what?
Pooer.
A word one.
Not up to scratch. There you go. Pick one.
Fantastic,
them.
Ash. There you go. Ash is going to be like, I've got 3 days to edit this, and now they're causing me to cut and chop and stuff.
Ash, at 25 minutes into the podcast, can you add this noise in, please?
you're Lenny Nilsson.
Thanks.
What if you were on like a serious topic at that point? And it's like a really crucial.
I don't care. It's
like,
happen.
It's like a crucial. It's like a crucial part of your.
Yeah.
Of your rant. Mm-hmm. And that's just dropped in, and whatever you're saying there. Well, I said it, Ash. I mean,
it's happened then. 25 go. Minutes in, specifically 25 minutes and 12 seconds. Thank you, Ash.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're gonna be looking out for that.
Yeah. No, we can't because it's gonna be edited differently, so we don't know when that's gonna pop in.
It could come in earlier or later, or at the very end of the podcast. Or this podcast might end there. Bye.
What I love about the MCU is the fact that it is a universe. It spanned over 10 years worth of films, and they're all interconnected. And I absolutely love that, the fact that they've built this universe of characters, and it's a huge franchise of these characters, and it's intertwining, and I absolutely love that. That's amazing, because you get like little hints in each film. You get like little sprinkle of Avengers reference, little sprinkle between events of this other film.
It links everything.
The precautions of what has happened here affects this film here.
They've woven all the different stories together, and it works. It's like nothing you can say. Oh well, that doesn't go at all.
And there's like there's the sort of the canon, and there's like the stories within stories. You know, things like Ant-Man and the Wasp happened within the events of Infinity War. The events of Captain Marvel happened in the 90s. So that's prequeling what we've seen from the start in Iron Man.
I have a gripe with that.
Go on.
With Captain Marvel starting in the 1980s. It's like she's an afterthought. Nice. 1990s, sorry. It's like she's an afterthought. It's like, all this stuff is happening now. Let's just call her now. It's not like the world's like been in peril like several times over since the whole Marvel universe started.
There might be a reason for that, though.
What, is she frozen like Cap? Or is she like, in jail? Or
whose cat is frozen?
There's no cats frozen. She has a cat. I don't know if her cat is frozen.
Captain America has a cat.
No, Captain Marvel has a cat.
Does she?
Yeah.
See, that makes me feel better.
Because she was in the poster. The cat was in the poster, but you can't see it because it's on the left. In the poster, you can see a cat tail.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the Captain Marvel one where there's like two doors and then she's standing there, there's a silhouette of a cat. I think.
Are you sure?
I'm Googling this now.
She's Googling it. So anyway, I love the entwining of the stories and the sort of timeline aspect of it, where it's like a huge, it's like, you know, there's a timeline and theories and all this involvement within, you know, thinking of the stuff.
Oh yeah, there is a cat. Mm-hmm.
There's a cat. Told you.
Isn't that the one that Nick Fury picked up in the trailer?
Yeah.
It's all weaved together. I have a question.
It's an alien cat.
I have a question for the both of you. On this subject, on this little mini subject we're going on. When did you both start in the MCU?
We started the same time, didn't we?
Like going to the cinema to see it or watching it in general.
We
started.
When did you probably become invested? I guess is probably the.
I bought the 6 film box set of Avengers, so it's basically Phase 1 of the Avengers, and that was, you know, from Iron Man 2. Avengers, and it was all the films in that saga, Phase 1 as it's called in the MCU thing. Mm-hmm. We watched them all, and then I think the first one we went to see in the cinema was Iron Man 3.
Before that, didn't we watch like Elektra and Daredevil and everything?
Well, yeah, we watched them.
And I got
that box set cheap.
And the Hulk.
I don't count them.
Hulk was a part, the Edward Norton one was a part of the MCU.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I tell you what, even though I'm sort of anti superhero films, I did go and see The Incredible Hulk at the cinema
with Ed Norton.
With Ed Norton and other guy who I forgot who it was.
Yeah, because the Commander Ross.
Yeah,
a famous actor, isn't it? Someone like guy from Tash. Pulp Fiction.
Oh, the Tash.
No, the abominable hunk, Hulk boy, pink
hunk?
Boy. Hunk? Yeah,
abominable hunk.
The abomination.
Hunk. Abomination, yeah. That's the one. Who plays
abominable hunk?
The abominable,
abominable hunk. The abominable hunk.
Oh, here he is, the abominable hunk. Here he comes. Oh, you're very pink today.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're on about, yeah.
Thank you.
There's a lot of the films where there's you need prior knowledge, but there's plenty of films in the MCU where you can jump on board and then go back, I think. It's just as nice about it, I think. But it's like a universe.
It's a universe.
It's turned into a universe. And that's what brings the hype value into it, I think.
So here comes capitalism head Charlie. Here comes
here
cynical. Here he comes. So it's I don't want to bring it all cynical and sad, but effectively Marvel is a business, and what they've done.
It is a big money making machine.
It is a big money making machine. So
and they do capitalize on the fact that people want to see these characters.
100%. Charlie, yeah. you've presented my point eloquently. Yeah, that's right.
I completely understand that. And I have the same view on that. But at the same time, I'm one of those people that want to see those characters. So I would quite happily give them the money to make stories.
Mm-hmm. That's very fair. I think for people that are invested, and I think more and more of the general populace, I think, are becoming obviously more and more invested in these stories. And obviously, it's slightly tangenting a little bit, or going on a tangent, but Marvel and superhero films have sort of replaced the summer blockbuster, or the idea of a blockbuster in cinema.
Yeah.
They've kind of taken over instead of letting the more independent filmmakers come and tell a completely different story. They're just telling the same story more or less.
But then again, isn't that just franchises as a whole?
Yeah, but I think you have to question, like, we have franchises like the Transformers franchise, and we have franchises like Jurassic Park and Star Wars. Well, Star Wars is, I think, on the same level as Marvel. I think Star Wars and Marvel...
Disney, isn't it?
It's Disney, isn't it? They obviously know how to do these franchises pretty darn well. But we have the summer blockbuster stuff like Jurassic Park, and you have Transformers, and all those old summer blockbusters going back to sort of like Jaws. These blockbusters, they had their franchises, but every sequel, every different film within that franchise, it would slowly and slowly worse in quality, slowly and slowly. There would be dwindling audiences, and whereas Marvel and Star Wars, I guess, to an extent as well, they've mastered being able to have these threads between films and being able to introduce and weave these characters in that you've all grown to love into a consistent quality film, and have tried to maintain a consistent quality. Though I'd argue that this consistent quality has led to a consistent storyline in most of the films, and a consistent blandness that is starting to seep through. So you have to bring it back. You have this thing to cling on to as a fan, rather than here is Jurassic Park 3 directed by your local butcher, and he's like, oh, why don't we have it happen in, you know, like a dinosaur, but in, like, you know, New York, with like a top hat and a pipe.
Godzilla.
No, don't be on board with this, Charlotte. Be more.
I love Godzilla.
No, this is Jurassic Park 3 I'm talking about, not Godzilla.
Sorry. I know, but I think you just triggered that description somehow triggered Godzilla in Charlotte's mind.
I just thought giant dinosaur in a scene.
Top hat and pipe. Where did the Godzilla come from there?
Yeah, Godzilla.
Because there was a trailer for the new Godzilla film.
30s, 40s.
And he had a top hat and a pipe.
No, you missed it. You went to the toilet. I was just like, Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Because I love Godzilla.
Godzilla.
As a whole concept, I love the proper Godzilla films.
Anyway. I think there are exceptions to this blandness rule in Marvel, though. And I think those exceptions are possibly the films...
Specifically?
Specifically,
where?
The films that have a more singular or enclosed and easy to grasp story that is not required to know.
Oh, you're Lenny Nielsen.
For Ragnarok. Guardians. Garden. You know the gardens. Garden. You know the garden. did it.
The audio glitched off with
Guardians
you then.
Of
just...
the Galaxy. that's a great film where he goes to different galaxies and he just does it gardens, you know. And then there's a little bit, you know. He has a look. He's like, ooh, maybe not.
It's interesting.
He looks at other people's gardens.
He looks at other people's gardens.
Why don't we bring it back to a more general point that I have about the MCU? Why don't
Go
we
on
do
then.
That? Why don't we do that? The main thread of my complaints. The idea that it's all quite safe. It's all quite similar in tone and fairly cinematography, I'd say. The same sort of characters, although that is slightly changing with characters like Black Panther, which is exciting.
Yep.
But for someone like myself, or many people, that want to just go to the cinema to see a film and not, and engage with a singular story and engage with something that hasn't had 20 films before it and you have to know about all these different characters and everything else, I think it's quite a daunting task. And for the cynic in me, Marvel Cinematic Universe and I guess DC, well, what DC are trying to do, but it's not really working. It's just a task in trying to gather and keep entertained a massive group of people all at the same time and all participating in buying the tickets and buying the merch and going onto the TV shows and the Netflix and trying to keep all these actors entertained and trying to keep the advertisers and all the different people involved in the bucket happy. And for me, I think for a fair few people, but myself mainly, and I think for not hardcore film fans, but fans of old-fashioned techniques in film and old-fashioned ways in film, I think it's quite difficult to get into. But I would add, possibly, that this is the way film's going to be from now on. I don't think it could possibly work as just you go and see the singular experience and everyone likes it and it's done. Yeah. But I don't know. What do you say? What do you say?
I agree with that. I agree that it's very difficult. I'd imagine it's very difficult to start a one-off or start a new franchise without it referencing something else, being a part of another universe. Like, for example, Fantastic Beasts. That was obviously...
Where are they?
I don't know
where
they are. I don't know. I don't know where they are.
Could you know where to find them? I don't.
I'd ask. Okay.
Charlotte, where are they?
Ask the man.
Charlotte?
Where are what?
The beasts.
The beasts.
They're where in can the I find suitcase.
Them? Where can I...
Suitcase.
Where can I...
The suitcase.
Which suitcase?
In the suitcase. Anyway. Yeah. That's Fantastic Beasts. Yeah. Is attached onto the Harry Potter universe, so that's not exactly a new franchise, but there's a lot of there's not much in terms of anything original anymore. In terms, it's falling onto something else. It's always going to be a franchise. Like there's always planned sequels. There's always things like that. So I do agree, it is very, very difficult for people to compete who just want to make like one-offs and things, original content, which is it's difficult.
Original anymore.
No. It's hard to be.
Is this a bigger comment, Charlotte, you're making just about cinema in general?
Yeah, because a lot of the films that you go and see, it's like you can predict what's going down. Most of the time, because you've seen the same story before, just in a different setting.
Would you argue that In general, people have less to spend at the moment, and big movie companies are just going for either nostalgia or the familiarity to try and get bums in seats.
Yeah, definitely. No, I do agree with that. I do.
Deep.
What do you think, Charlotte? What do you think? Do you think? I don't know. Tell me. Tell me more.
What do you think?
What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah. Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
I'm hungry.
don't ruin this. Come on, you can do it. Here we go.
What do you think?
What do you think?
I don't do being
on the
spot very well.
Here's a question for you, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Imagine you haven't seen any of the previous MCU films.
Okay.
You go and think, hey, I'm going to go and watch the Avengers end finale, part two, end of it all. Not really.
Yeah.
This year. I presume it's this year, isn't it? This year.
It's in April, okay, isn't it?
It's in April.
April.
Do you think your enjoyment of the film would be the same if you had not seen any of the previous films?
I wouldn't know what on earth is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Quite simply because it's a part of a two-part film. And like starting off with half the characters dead, I think you would
be
fair,
slightly
confused.
It's the first time I've done something where there's an exact like a continuation
onto another film.
A lot of the Marvel films do have a beginning and an end.
Mm.
There's always that arc.
But
Infinity War and End War is the only time really that there's been a proper cliffhanger.
Would you argue that? Though there are ends and beginnings to these films, like all good films should have, would you also argue that there are many, many, many arcs that are left hanging throughout pretty much every single film? Because I think the common complaint from film people about Marvel is that a lot of the films feel like setting up to other films instead of actually having their own singular story. Back to the singular story point.
I don't think they're setting up for other films. I think they're only setting up part of it, really, is the end credits scene.
Exploring.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they're exploring.
I think they link it to other things, but I don't think they ever... Like, each standalone story would be a setup for another film. Yes, they had like the overarching like Thanos in the background since like Avengers kind of thing. But that's never been... It's never impacted on that story itself, except until, obviously, Infinity War, really.
Mm-hmm. So, we've been very civil so far. I'm going to go pretty hard in there.
Okay.
You ready?
Oh, gosh.
You ready? This is, you know...
This is where you might
hard for the end.
Here we go.
Is.
And...
Elevator music. It's almost a Christmas song there. That was almost a Christmas song. Now it's 2.5
okay,
men.
Okay, here we go. You ready? 2.5 men. You ready? Marvel music.
Yeah. Right.
Marvel soundtracks and background music in most Marvel films is bad.
I don't think it's bad.
Bombshell.
Mm.
Mic drop.
I don't think it's bad.
No.
Definitely not. That's this one.
I think they do the music in a way that...
It's recognisable as a Marvel film.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because...
Nate...
But they do it in a way where they can blend them as well. That's another thing. Because they're doing music for a universe, like Avengers and stuff...
Mm-hmm.
They can blend those little stings and little bits of character themes within the bigger superhero mashup films, and they have little twings of Doctor Strange theme and the instruments used in Doctor Strange. Use little twings of the Ant-Man, bit of the twinge of the Iron Man 3 sort of theme.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the music is very clever within Marvel.
They've done it in a good way so that they can tie everything together. Basically,
here's a test for you. Here's a test.
Okay,
go on.
You ready? You ready?
Yeah. Do we have to guess hum this? Me. Are you...
No. Hum me the theme tune to Jurassic Park.
That's all you're getting. I mean,
that's good.
Thanks.
Hum me the theme tune to Harry Potter.
That's not the Harry Potter theme tune.
Try again.
I was halfway there.
Hum me the theme tune to Star Wars. Star Wars.
I have no idea.
Star Wars. Well, I mean, that's fine. But yeah, that's fine. Okay. Now, hum me the music to Guardians of the Galaxy, the theme tune.
Yeah, it is. That's the theme to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, my test has failed. My test has failed. You two are too big a fan. They're very, very.
Ask some other people. Ask some other people.
Quick, you there. You very in. Very interesting video. I can't remember who it's by. I can't remember if it's by Nerdwriter or someone else related to film. But it's about temporary music and the Marvel films.
Right. I have heard of this, yeah.
Have you heard of this, yes?
I have temp music, yeah.
Temp music. The practice of the director goes, hey, this is what I want it to sort of sound like, Music Man.
But I know, make it work. Hang on. To be fair, that's not just superhero films. There's been a lot of instances in blockbusters.
100%. But Marvel do it a lot. And it just seems...
There is a big argument with temp music.
Mm. Yes.
Some people, I mean, I suppose the major creatives... Like, as in musicians and stuff, they're like, I hate temp music because it's like I have to work off a template or something, that sort of thing. But then again, some people like it because it gives them an idea of what kind of things. I mean, I have a friend who is doing like music for Quiff Legion, and he loves temp music because it gives him an idea of what the emotion and stuff in the scene is.
What's a Quiff Legion?
Charlie, don't go there.
Good plug your thing.
It was a plug. That's what it was. That's what Quiff Legion
was. Plug your thing.
Plug my thing. Plug my thing.
Charlotte, plug your cheese.
Generally scared there. Generally quite scared because it's
Lottie cheese. It's scared the bejesus out of
you. She almost thought she had to share it.
No cheese for you.
No cheese for you.
Charlotte cheese. No cheese for you. Trademark.
Charlie.
Yes. Gorgonzola.
Here's something difficult for you. Because I think we have to conclude somewhere.
Nah.
We do.
We're going for about 2 hours now. Here we go.
No, this is getting cut to 45 minutes. Or less. Depending on how much content we've actually got. So, Charlie.
Yes.
Give me a positive. Give me a positive.
There was a mouse there.
Give me a positive about superhero films.
Positive. I don't think... I'm going to give you a positive about the MCU in general. I don't think there has been an entity, like a product or a whole group of things... Marvel in general, I don't think there has ever been anything in film or entertainment in general that to this scale has enraptured so many people and engaged so many people in keeping up and following so many characters, so many films, so many books, comics, figurines, etc., quite like the Marvel Cinematic Universe has. I don't think... I know we've had Star Wars, and Star Wars has done it quite well, but where Star Wars, and well, up until recently, but whereas the old Star Wars series and MCU differs, is that there are so... As much as I've been admitting that I think a lot of MCU is very bland and very samey, there are major exceptions where there are singular stories and singular films, and it's quite interesting that so many characters, so many singular stories, so many differing stories are able to be linked together in such a quite clever way to, and still engage the general cinema-going audience, I think. With Star Wars, although it's very, very popular, it still had a fair niche. You wouldn't have got your 60-year-old on average, you wouldn't have got a 65-year-old from Working Men's Club in 1977 or 1983 or whatever to go and watch something about some guys chucking lightsabers about. That wouldn't have happened. Whereas I think Marvel has managed something that many things haven't before in enrapturing so many people, and I think that's quite a great thing. But I think also possibly it's a change in the way we consume film and entertainment. I think we're all going towards not singular pieces or entertainment or art, but we're going towards serialized, long-form, everything-connected universes. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because I really like weird films. Kind of.
To add on to your point, though, that it's like... It's... These films have attracted more than just... the originated like sort of fans, in terms of these the audiences don't have to know of these comic books. It's brought a lot of people who probably would never necessarily have read a comic book or read about these characters. There's a very broad audience when it comes to people. Like there's a lot of people in our friend group from very different backgrounds, and people who are not would you class as the nerds. it's sort of brought a coolness to liking something quite typically geeky, and I think everything's quite relatable with the MCU. There's a sense of relatability to these characters, whereas, as you say, Star Wars, there's not much relatability with those characters.
It could be argued there is, but I don't want certain friends to come and murder us in our sleep. No, I have to say that. Okay. That's fine. Charlotte, have you got a positive or takeaway from the MCU? A big positive.
Or negative.
Well, I was going to go into negatives in a second, because I think we should, as BBC impartiality, other networks are available, what? We should have
BBC
negatives as well.
As a positive.
Yeah. Your positive takeaway from the MCU.
I mean, we always talk about we're always positive about the MCU in previous podcasts, so we've said a lot.
We have.
Do you want to go negative then?
We've said a lot about the positivity like behind Marvel.
Go on then. Yeah. Charlotte, I think for
Charlotte.
The negative.
Yeah, we're going opposite now. Negative about the MCU. I'm thinking of one myself.
I'm trying to think. my brain's gone to pot now.
I think I've got a negative.
Go on then.
I fear... This is something maybe for future that the MCU will be always quite light because it's with Disney and stuff.
I agree.
I'm thinking there's only so far they can go with like darkness in terms of dark storylines. It's quite difficult for because in the comic books, there's a lot of moments that is quite difficult, I think, for the MCU, specifically on with Disney, to go to. Like, it's difficult for them to go quite far with it in terms of violence and darkness.
Darkness. Charlotte, you made a noise that suggested it was your time to shine.
I'm just thinking, I think Marvel would struggle bringing in a dark storyline. But I also think that it would work really well. Kind of. X-Men aren't Disney, are they?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. No.
Well, nearly.
Because maybe the next
really,
2 months.
Really, it worked really well with Logan, and I really loved that film. Love that film to bits. And
yeah, that's the
thing.
That
works really well because it stays true to his character and it stays true to the comic books, and it worked fantastically well.
Do you think that will ever happen again, though?
I hope they do that with Black Widow. I really do, but I'm going to think they're going to really struggle with that because Black Widow is already an established character in...
Is there not quite adult elements to the Black Widow story that probably won't fly with Disney, I presume?
Yeah, I know, but they did Deadpool.
Yeah. What did they do, Deadpool? Don't think it was that attached to Disney, though, was it?
No,
it
at that point, no. But then they released the family-friendly Deadpool at Christmas.
I'm wondering if they'll ever actually kill off a character... In terms
I bet they do. I hope they do.
In terms of killing off a main character, and I mean like a main character, I've had my own film franchise a character. So, will they ever do that, or will they always be very open to, like, because of the whole sort of marketing franchising element? Would they be too afraid of killing off a character?
I think they already probably have in the End War
game,
because I think Chris Evans already suggested that he's already filmed his last scene in Marvel.
Didn't he thank them for all the input that they had over the years, and thank you for this amazing opportunity and everything? Wasn't that his tweet or something like that?
Yeah, but I know they're saying things like now, like
But they're doesn't in the living. Comics, isn't Falcon the guy that becomes Captain America?
Mm-hmm. Well, Winter Soldiers as well.
They both do. At some point.
Back to what we were saying about the death, and I'm not sure. I mean, it might be different when it comes to in April, when Endgame's out. But, I think it's difficult for them to kill off a character with it being such a thing.
Here's a question for you both.
Go on.
You're both very... I think we're coming towards the end here, not to ruin the immersion for any budding podcast listener. But here we are, coming towards the end, and possibly, like Marvel, linking to new. I don't know why we're laughing. I'm doing it quite subtly and totally not referencing exactly what I'm doing in a metatextual way. It's fine.
I have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, well, you say. Would the two of you, in your Marvel fandom, would you ever?
God, I wish you were quicker at asking questions.
That might take a longer time there.
Charlie, please. Ash is literally ripping every hair off his body.
If there was a video podcast, it should just be Ash in a room just slowly deteriorating and crying.
Editing the Quiffcast.
Just shoveling cheese into his face while clumps of hair.
That's if Quiffcast gets like a Patreon or something. They'll have access to
it. Are you actually asking us a question?
I mean, it's going round and round and round. In your cinema-going ways in the past couple of years, have you been to see anything that's not Marvel or DC?
Yeah, all the time.
Yes.
What have you been to see?
We went to go see... What have we been to see, Robert? We went to see Aquaman last night. That's DC.
That's DC.
We went to go see Ready Player One. We went to go see Lucy. Mm. We went to go see... what was that one with Alicia Vikander in? Not Tomb Raider, because we did go to see Tomb Raider. It was the other one.
Alicia Vikander?
Yeah.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. Went to go see that. We went to...
Schmackama.
We're going to see Alita Battle Angel when that comes out. We're going...
Matt Damon one.
We went to go see The Martian.
A few.
And we went...
No, I was on about...
Which Matt Damon one?
That small one.
Small boy one.
Small boy. Oh, that was weird. Oh, yeah, sure, Matt Damon. I was very disappointed with that film. Very disappointed with that film.
That film was by Michel Gonji.
That film really annoyed me.
Gonji.
Gonzi.
Thoroughly annoyed.
Yes, you have. Okay, very good. For a future idea, I think. First, general question.
I went to see Wreck-It Ralph a few weeks ago.
Nah, that doesn't count. That's Disney. Nah,
I don't care. Oh, so we're not including Disney films either.
Nah. We're not including established intellectual property.
Oh, what did I see? That is one of my favourite films, and I can't remember the names now.
Dark Tower.
No, Dark Tower was really good. I enjoyed that. Oh, it's a zombie film.
Interstellar.
Is it the British one?
Yeah, it only had a very, very small budget, but the story was really good.
The one with Paddy Considine. About the girl that's a zombie, but like they want to help her.
Yeah.
Girl with gifts.
The girl with all the gifts. With yeah, the I love that film.
Yeah, I have.
That
was
one of my favourite films.
So, do you have more memorable, enjoyable experiences in the cinema with Marvel films or with independent news stories?
I love Marvel. But again, it depends on the story for me. I do love all the Marvel films. All the Marvel films, some more than others. Like, because obviously you like Ant-Man a lot.
I love Ant-Man.
And obviously Guardians is my favourite film.
And my favourite, clearly, Howard the Duck.
But, like, with me it has to depend. If I see the, I'm really looking forward to seeing Godzilla, and that's out next year. I have to be invested in the trailer, and if I already like that kind of thing, then I'll go and see that kind of thing. But again, I like stories like I'd love to go see Colette because I like I like Keira Knightley. I like a lot of the work she does.
Do you?
I do.
What way do you like Keira Knightley, Charlotte?
I just think she's a good actress.
Right. I see. Dirty old man. Jesus.
Why am I a dirty old man?
You dirty old man. Oh, a bit of Keira Knightley. Ooh, I love a
but
bit of
I
Keira
like that
Knightley.
Kind of story as well. It's something that I'd watch on my own when I'm at home.
Okay.
No doubt.
What about you, Roberta?
I don't know what the question was. I enjoy Marvel films.
Okay.
It's very exciting because Marvel's the only really franchise that I've, you know, the hype. They're very good at hyping people up. And you know, I've never
been disappointed.
I've never been disappointed with a Marvel film, really.
I have.
I think
Captain America.
It's very much about the hype.
First Avengers.
It's very much about the hype with me, and you know, Marvel's the only thing that I like. I watch the because they do a lot of stuff like live streaming and stuff when like they're doing the world premiere and they have the interviews and stuff. Marvel's the only like really franchise where I'm like looking at interviews and you know, getting hyped up for the film that way. You know, whenever a trailer comes out, if it's a Marvel film, I'll watch it straight away, that sort of thing.
I did that with Tomb Raider. I was religiously on that straight away.
It's quite fascinating how the fandom of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is quite powerful, I think it's really nice. I couldn't find a negative about the hypeness. I love the hype. I think it's almost a shame when you watch the film because the hype's over for a little while. It's always really exciting leading up to watching the film. I mean, I think Marvel, I don't think we've ever gone to, correct me if I'm wrong, Charlotte, but I don't think we've ever been to a midnight screening, which hasn't been Marvel.
We went to Doctor Who.
That wasn't midnight.
I thought that wasn't midnight. The 50th? Oh, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
I'm pretty sure we had. I've been to a midnight screening of something that wasn't Marvel.
I was there.
I know you were, Charlie.
No, but a large percentage of it will be like Marvel.
I think there is one film that wasn't Marvel that we went to go see at midnight, and I can't remember what it was.
I don't know, but I think it's the hype. I mean, they wouldn't have midnight screenings if there wasn't some hype over it.
We did a 3-film long wait for... Marvel. Was that Civil War that we did that for? We watched Avengers, and then we watched something else.
Yeah, it might be.
Winter Soldier, and then it was Civil War, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That was a long time.
Was? Brilliant.
It was really good, and I enjoyed it, but halfway through Winter Soldier, I was like, I really want to sleep. Because we've been there, like, for ages. Ages and ages and ages.
To bring it to a close, and perhaps allude to more special things, I have a slight, if you may, homework piece for the two of you.
Okay, go on for it.
Go on.
I challenge you both, and you can do this whenever, and we can follow up whenever.
I've got a challenge for you as well, Charlie, after this.
Okay, this will be fun. I like this. This could lead into a part two. Oh, just like Avengers. you can be Iron Man. I'll be...
can we just have the question?
Sorry. I have a request of the two of you.
Okay.
I'd like the two of you to go see a film at an independent cinema of my a film of my choosing at an independent cinema, and your request, Rob, is?
Do you mean like a little cinema?
Yes.
Hang on, was that the question?
It's more of a request.
I thought you were leading
a request.
We're going away to York sometime in the future, and they have an independent cinema there.
This is leading into something good.
So we could go see something weird if you want.
Yeah, and then Rob, I presume your request is a similar one.
Charlie, in the first time,
yes.
Because I think you're capable.
Yes.
I'd like to give you the honour of.
Can we hurry this up? I really need to go pee.
Giving you the honour of introducing the new QuiffCore product that this episode of the QuiffCast is sponsored by.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. Charlie,
yeah.
Take it away.
What's the product?
No, that's no, you have to.
Oh, it's just me. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Introducing the from new.
QuiffCore. No, you have to say from introducing from QuiffCore. That's
sorry.
Yeah.
Introducing from Quiff Corporation.
Is it Quiff Corporation or QuiffCore?
No, it's just QuiffCore. Just QuiffCore.
QuiffCore, sorry.
I think Quiff Corporation.
Introducing from QuiffCore. Quiff suppositories.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Go on. Go on. No, you have to explain the product now.
Okay.
Have you ever wanted to get a quiff in about 2.7 days? Have you been longing to have that cowlick hair? Daddy, I need me some quiff boy in my juice system. Look no further. Find at your local Boots, Aldi, Lidl, Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrison's, Home Bargains, B&M,
and Woolworths.
The new QuiffCo suppositories, just with a small placement of a little pinky finger up the rectum.
Thank you, Charlie, for the first and last guest QuiffCo product spotlight. I hope you've enjoyed this QuiffCast episode. Until next time, follow if you enjoyed. And we shall see you.
Good luck, Ash.
Episode.
Good luck, Ash.
Jeez.
I think you should use one of the suppositories, actually.
Ash. Bye.
Listen, Ash.
Bye.
Ash. Bye.
Ash.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.
Can I stop recording now?